Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Like you, I'm on a journey with the Lord to understand His voice, understand more and more about the Lord, to get to know Him more. It's one of the themes of this year, is to get to know the Lord more. And I'm on this journey with you where I'm discovering things, and we'll always be doing that, right? I would imagine that when we are in heaven, or heaven comes here, and all that happens in the future, that we will continually be seeing new aspects of God and getting to know Him more forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll never be able to exhaust getting to know Him, and there will always be new things revealed to us. And so I feel like as I'm sharing today, this is not a perfected, not that any of them ever are, but this is not even close to a perfected or complete maybe message or even thought. I'm kind of letting you in on what I'm discovering with the Lord that is still cooking. So bear with as we jump in here, and we're going to go through some scriptures. I won't be reading a lot of these scriptures all the way through. We'll just be touching on portions of them. Our tagline, as you may know, is Know God, Take Action, which is a scripture. That's where we got it from, in case you were wondering. We didn't just pull that out of the air. That is Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Talks about the people in the last days or during difficult times, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. That's where we get our tagline. People who know God, they take action, which means that they do exploits. That's what taking action means in the scriptures, is to do exploits. The things that Jesus said to do, John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And even greater works. And I have not seen as many greater works as I'd like to see. I want to see so many more exploits of God through our lives, the supernatural becoming reality and turning into our reality, what God has in his heart and mind. So I'm discovering, and let's kind of jump in here together and learn and grow in the Lord and trust that he's going to help us understand some of his ways so that we can know him and take action. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, starting at the beginning, so I've just finished Revelation, right? Here we go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 starts out, let there be light. Verse 6, same chapter, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Verse 9, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. Verse 11, same chapter, let the earth sprout vegetation. 14, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. 15, let them be for lights in the expanse. Verse 20, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures. And 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule. Anyone catch a theme through this? There's this little word called let. Little word let, little three-letter word for us in English that is mentioned 11 times as God is creating. Let this happen. Let this take place. And I started to look into that. The Lord was at the end of last year, the Lord began kind of highlighting this for me. So I've been on this journey with him related to this. And that word let in Hebrew, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it is the word pronounced haya, not haya. It's haya. That's that word, to let. And it means this, it means to be, or become, or to happen. or to exist, or to come to pass, or to occur. In our English, a synonym for that for us would be to allow. May it take place, right? And it's interestingly, this is the very first word that we have recorded that God spoke ever, that we have. Certainly he spoke before that, I'm sure, before this universe was created. But this is the first word that we have recorded. The very first thing he said was, Haya, let something, let this happen. Let what happen? A whole lot of things. A whole lot of things. The best that I understand is that God had in his mind a lot of thoughts. The mind of God, it's mind-blowing for me to consider his mind in what he thinks about, that he has every hair numbered on every head on the planet right now and that has ever lived. At the same time, he's got all that there, all the information, down to the details of the atom makeup of every single person and the DNA strands and for every single person and every single living being and everything about the earth and the billions and trillions of planets and solar systems and galaxies. This massive God has these thoughts, these meticulous, very detailed, incredibly detailed thoughts in his mind of what he wanted the entire universe to be like, including all the living creatures, with colors, when there was nothing. Absolutely nothing, vacuum, a void. And all of those things in his mind that he is carrying became something when he said, Haya, let. So what was transferred from his thoughts into reality through this word. It's beyond our ability to understand any of this. On a very, very, very pitiful, small scale. I was thinking of something, one of our friends in here, I don't know if he's here today, Israel Smith has one of these. My son does this at his job as a school teacher. He has a 3D printer. So what you do with that is you program in your software what you want something and what's in your mind and what you want something to look like. You hit print. And then this 3D printer starts doing all this. And out comes a material 3D object based on what you designed, what you had an idea of what it should be. This is a little bit like what happens with God, and he has all these things in his mind, every detail, but his 3D printer is let, and then everything comes into being just like it is up here inside of him. That's incredible to learn about God, to see that he is that way. And it's his nature to create. He is the creator. And everything that he does and has done was impossible to do. The nature of God is to do the impossible. When there was nothing, it would be impossible to have something, but that's God's domain, the impossible domain. To create things. That's your God. He's my God. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the supernatural. That's not hype. That's not hyperbole. That is reality. This is who our God is. And he often will do things, complete things, before they are. Which is another way that God does things. Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Does that make any sense? There's a finish before there's a start. Or there's a completeness in the mind of God before the reality takes effect in our world. It's how he does things. I don't understand a lot of that or hardly any of it. But he places us in this miraculous created world that he dreamed up. And then he dreamed up us. And he put us here to know him, to be filled with his spirit, to exchange and interchange and have fellowship with him as a father, not as some sort of distant being, but as a father. And it says in the scriptures in 1 Peter that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have been given, he's already dreamed it up, he's already provided it, not just dreamed it up, he's provided for us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That pretty much covers it. Anything pertaining to life, God has already provided. That's why when the angel was speaking with teenage Mary, remember Gabriel shows up in her room, about something unheard of that the Holy Spirit had in his mind to do. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and hover over you, implanting the seed of heaven within you. Mary doesn't know how. She says, how can this be? It's a good question, since I'm a virgin. And the angel responds, nothing will be impossible with God. You know who we're dealing with here? This is an idea God has. This is an idea that God has. He wants to do this impossible thing. But he's sharing his plans with Mary. He didn't have to do that. He could have just done it. But he shares his plans of what he wants to do in bringing the Savior of the world from heaven into this realm to take on an earth suit. And Mary's response in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Though it's her next word. Let it be done. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. I'm not sure if she was aware in that moment that she was saying the same thing that God said when the universe was formed. She was saying, I allow. Do it, Lord. Whatever you have in your mind and your heart to do, I say yes. I say let. I allow, I cooperate with what is in your mind, in your heart to do, in me. What a beautiful response. This is like a new covenant version of Eve. Mary, what a beautiful spirit to say that to the Lord. To say, she could say it in Southern vernacular, doesn't make a lick of sense what you just said, Gabriel. But let it be done according to what you were thinking, what you desire to have happen. So beautiful. And then God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. It's so fascinating to me. I marvel at a lot of things, mostly creation. I marvel at creation. I find myself weekly marveling at creation, whether it's sunsets or sunrises or trees or birds. I have no idea. You ever think, how does a bird fly at 40 miles an hour and put on the brakes in the air and land on a little twig and go whoop all the way over the top? Or how does that happen? I have no idea. I marvel at those kind of things. The beauty of creation, the detail and the color and the speed and the radiance, what God has made, I marvel at those so many different things. I also marvel at this, that God, being God, looks to us to allow him to do things. That he looks for people to cooperate with his will. That's fascinating to me. And it shows a beautiful aspect of God. Every aspect of God is beautiful. But this one I want to highlight, that he doesn't do things to force things upon us. He doesn't cause things to happen under our duress. He doesn't want slaves or robots. He has given us this free will and free love for us to use what he's given us. He says, it is for freedom that I set you free. The Lord has done that for us. But he's looking for bond slaves, those who would take their freedom and say, I choose you with my freedom to follow you. I say, I've got freedom to do whatever I want to do, but I use my freedom to believe and align myself with what you want to do. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for partners, not in crime. He's looking for partners in the earth that would demonstrate through us God's goodness and all that he's already provided. That they would flow through us, that we would be his sons and daughters, his family on the earth that he can move through, that we would, if we would let him, if we would allow him, if we would align ourselves and allow and let and say, like Mary, I let you do it, Lord. Whatever you want to do through me, with me, I say yes. I marvel at God doing these things. He doesn't have to. I'm so glad he does. Of course, in the beginning, God spoke to nothingness. His ideas came into being. In the New Testament, under the New Covenant, there are similar actions by God and invitations by God for us, like we just read with Mary. In Mark 5:34, Jesus says to this woman, I won't share the first part of the story, but she's sick and needs healed. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Well, of course, the New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. So you can't use a Hebrew word exactly in the Greek, but there's an equivalent. There's a close. So the word let, that ha-ya, the closest word in Greek, which I can't pronounce, but it's number 1510, it's this word that Jesus used right here, the equivalent of let it be. Jesus says, be healed. In other words, the healing in his heart and mind that he wants to give, he says, be it. Let it occur, happen. And it happens. He's doing the same thing he did in the beginning when he let everything be created. Here he is with this woman. It says Jesus was with the Father creating the universe with him, right? So here's the creator creating again and giving healing. And he says, be healed. The equivalent of what the Father said thousands and thousands earlier, however long. Then Jesus also said in John 8:58, he says this of himself, one of the powerful things that share the deity of Jesus, when he says, before Abraham was, I am. He's referring back to Exodus, when God reveals himself to Moses as I am. Jesus is saying here, I am God. That word I am is the exact same word as to be or occur or. So it's interesting. It's similar to in the beginning, God saying, he could have said, I am, and it would have happened. So there's these words are mixed together. They mean the same thing. It's interesting as well that in our English language, we have about 50,000 words in the English language. In Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, there are only 5,000. So that's why we find a word like this, ha-ya, and it's got 10 different things that it can mean, because there aren't as many words in Hebrew. Romans 4:17, let's read 16 and 17. It says, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, which grace is this incredibly unmerited favor. You can't earn it, you can't gain it, you can't work for it. Grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. This is our God. He's describing here. He's the God that calls into being that which does not exist. The God who gives life to the dead. He also gives his immeasurable grace through which what he's done already, we can't earn, but he provides his promises through, if we'll believe. Faith is this activation of believing that lets and allows God to do what he wants to do and what he has in mind. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, we have a do not let. So we allow things. We're also instructed not to allow something. Do not let or allow sin to reign in your mortal body. We get to be the gatekeeper of sin ruling in our mortal body. And he says, you have this incredible power to allow things to happen. Let's allow the God ideas to happen, but not allow the enemy's ideas to happen, or our fleshly nature, our selfish nature, for those things to take place. We have the power to not allow it. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it rule in your hearts. So as peace is there to have, it's like the things that God had created in his mind already, they were there. And then he said, let, and they became. The peace of God is fully available. Our job is to let. I let the peace of God rule in my life. It's available. I say, open door, come on in, peace. So many of the things of God, if not all of them, are received by faith. It's by faith. Faith is the letting. As we open up our hearts and open up our minds and our being to allow God to do and to give what he wants to give. And he's prepared everything already. He's provided everything already. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So the word of Christ is there. Let it dwell within you. The words of Christ, the words of Jesus, let them dwell within you. Allow them. And then in Revelation 22, all the way to the end of the Bible, so Genesis 1, the 11 lets. Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, guess what? He's still saying let. Verse 17, God starts with the let in Genesis, finishes with five lets at the end. And I'll just share a couple. And let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. It's an invitation at the beginning and a command, a direction. And then at the end, it's an invitation to allow, to come and take of what God has prepared, this living water without cost. We can have it. See, all through our lives, even till when Jesus returns, he's looking for people, for you and I, who will partake of what he's provided. Not those who are waiting for him to do something necessarily new against our will. He has provided everything, and our job, part of our job, I'm discovering, is to allow him to do what he wants to do, to transform me, to change me, to give me a transformed mind. I cannot transform my own mind. I can try, it doesn't work. What I can do is allow and let the Spirit of God transform me. I can allow his Spirit to move through me. I can allow the ideas that he has and the desires that he has to happen inside of me. So the lets of God in the beginning divided the waters, the lets of God at the very end encourage any and all who are thirsty to receive the water of life without cost, to receive him. And all along the way, we're allowing or not allowing what God wants to do. Again, this is remarkable to me that we get to be the gatekeepers in the things of God, that he's not going to force himself. Just as no good husband would force himself upon his wife, God does not force himself upon his bride. He does not make us do things. He invites us to do things. He invites us to walk with him. He invites us to be filled with him. He invites us into his salvation. He invites us to be healed. And so much of this has to do with us allowing and letting and saying, as Mary said, let it be done. Let it be done. So there's where I am in my journey of discovery of this. That's not all the way done, but I want to end with reading together the Lord's Prayer. Can we do that? Because this is, if you can see it in the light of what we just shared, it makes even more sense of what God wants to do. Would you mind standing with me, if we can just stand together? Matthew 6, it's 9 through 13. Let's read this. This is a New American Standard. You probably might know this in New King James. But our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the prayer of Jesus that he taught the disciples to pray. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. What this prayer is a prayer in agreement. It's a prayer of agreement with what God has in his heart and mind to do. It's a prayer, if you could summarize this, I would say, it's the prayer of let. It's saying, God, you've got all this stuff figured out. You know what to do and I don't. And so here's my prayer, Father in heaven, let it be. Let it be according to all that's in your heart and mind to do in my life, in my family's life, in my job, in my home, in my church, in my city, on the land I'm on, wherever I am, let it be and use me. And so it's like an alignment with heaven for what God wants to do through our free will. Through our love for him, we exercise our faith in free will to say, you do, God, what you want to do. Yes. And it's a death to our own agenda. It's a death to our own opinions. I think that there are certain opinions that Christians aren't supposed to have. Where God's opinions and desires and plans override all of our opinions and our preferences. That's a big one. For God's ways to override our opinions and our preferences. That's what this prayer is. Your will be done, your kingdom come on the earth just as it is in heaven. May it be here. So why don't we pray together? Lord, we just align ourselves with you even right now in this incredible prayer. And all that you have in your mind and heart to do on the earth yet. All that you have in your mind and your heart to do in my family yet. All that you have in your mind and your heart to do in my personal life yet. All the transformation that you've already prepared. Everything pertaining to life and godliness that you have available. All of the healing that you have available even right now in my physical body. All of the changing of who I am into who you want me to be. We take all these things and say, even right now, we pray a dangerous prayer. The prayer of Mary. We say, let it be, Lord. Let it be in my life. Let it be in my being. Let it be in my family, as you have said. Let it be in my church, as you have said. Let it be in my city, as you have said. Let my actions be as your actions. Lord, I ask that you'd raise our faith from whatever level it is to a higher level. Lord, we ask that you'd increase our faith as the disciples prayed. Increase our faith to let more good stuff happen. Increase our faith so that more letting can happen from heaven to the earth through us. Let it be in my mind, in Jesus' name. It says that we have the mind of Christ. So we take that promise right now when we say, let it be. Let it be. We allow your mind to change our minds and to give us your type of thoughts. We allow and cooperate with your desires and plans for our lives right now. In the name of Jesus, we yield. We yield to your right of way, to have your way in our hearts and in our lives, even now, no matter what that is. And Holy Spirit, if there's anything that you want to highlight, that you want us to jettison, get rid of, even as we're doing this, we just give you permission to highlight those things, to remove them. We also give you permission to just kick them out. Mindsets, ideas, imaginations, thoughts that are not kingdom-like, ways of behavior that are not kingdom-like, that are not heaven-like. Change us. We allow you, Holy Spirit, even now, and say thank you for what you are doing, what you've done, what you've provided, what's available. And we receive also now your great grace. We receive your healing in our bodies, physical healing around the room. Let it be. Let your healing take place in our bodies. What you have in your mind and what you paid for already, let your healing take place even now around this room in every body. Physical healing from the supernatural realm to the natural realm. The healing of Jesus that was paid for on the cross, let it be even right here and right now. Someone's hearing is getting touched even now. Whoever has had a problem with their hearing, it's popping open for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. I just feel like someone with a shoulder, some problems with their shoulder, movement, pain and movement, lifting their arms. Let your healing be, Jesus, right now in that shoulder. Full movement all of the way, no more pain. Let it be. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's someone else that has felt like they have had these thoughts that are tormenting thoughts. It's like a circle. It just keeps coming back and back and beating them up every time it comes around. Smash. Just like tormenting thoughts. That is the enemy. We bind the enemy right now in Jesus' name, and those tormenting thoughts. The Lord does not send a tormentor to hurt you. That's the enemy's work. And so we break the power of the tormentor and speak healing to that mind right now, that circle would stop and there'd be peace in that mind. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart and mind even right now. Be healed. All tormenting thoughts stop. Condemning thoughts broken, gone in Jesus' name. Now thoughts of restoration, hope, joy, peace, power, laughter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us even today. Thank you for your power and your and Lord loving us. Before we were ever born, for any of us in here were ever born, you already died for us. You paid for our sin. You paid for our salvation. You paid for our healing before we even knew there was such a thing. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've prepared and provided from before the foundation of the world, and certainly before our foundation of being born, you already provided it. We say, let it be all of the way in all of our lives, today, tomorrow, and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.